You're listening to Mornings. Kate O'Toole with you, and good to be with you on this Tuesday. In the next 40 minutes or so, there are so many things you and I are going to do together. One is heading to a beer hall in Germany, courtesy of our virtual travel guide, Michael Turtle. And we're also going to discuss a possible revolution in education. What happens when you have almost entirely self-directed learning? There are some who think this could be basically the new frontier in education. Is it something we should be considering here in the Northern Territory? Before we consider either of those things, though, yesterday you heard about an exhibition in Darwin that features the female body, or at least one part of the female body. Part that you don't see very often out and about. Here's the sculptor Greg Taylor talking about some of the features that he had to perfect.
The hair, getting all of that right, getting all the skin features right, getting the little wrinkles and bumps and so forth in the right place.
Yes, he was talking about his sculptures. There were more than 100 white clay vaginas, or more accurately, vulvas, I suppose, lining the walls of the DVAA in Darwin. Each has a lot of detail, each different. The concept of this has sparked interesting conversations across Darwin. Is this feminist art? What is feminist art? I have two artistic feminists with me here today to discuss this issue. Casey Jenkins is part of the exhibition as well, a feminist artist and a craftivist.
Yep.
I've never heard of this before, but welcome to the studio, Casey.
Cheers. Thanks for having me. It's good to be part of the conversation.
And also speaking with us today is Darwin-based feminist artist Alison Dow. Thanks for joining me too.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, how about I turn your microphone on? There we are. First of all, Casey, I'll go to you. Can you describe your performance art piece?
Sure. Well, before I get to that, I think that it's interesting that, again, the introduction to this story reiterated this the story from yesterday, which was solely focused on Greg's work, when in fact the exhibition involved over 150 artists, 150 female artists, but the story presented focused solely on the one male artist involved. And I think that that's sort of a fascinating take on a feminist show for starters.
Mm.
My performance piece, again, was just one of the works. There were also collaborative pieces involving female art and gender-diverse artists from across Australia. Knit Your Revolt involved female feminist artists from every state and territory in Australia, Femme Fight Club, dozens of female artists. My performance work is an ongoing thing where I am going to be knitting from about subverting traditional craft techniques that are associated with women and often derided because of that, and such as knitting. And knitting people, because people have low expectations and opinions of women, people think that knitting is a safe and warm and non-threatening thing. And so you can use those assumptions to sort of draw people gently into things that they might have negative connotations about and blur the lines. And so what I'm doing is I'm putting a skein of wool a day into my cervix and knitting from it to create, over the course of a month, to create a long passage of time to mark one menstrual cycle. I'm sort of thinking about ideas about my fertility. I'm 34, I'm queer, I'm not going to fall pregnant by accident, and so I want to consider whether it's something I want to do. That's kind of a nutshell of the performance piece.
And so obviously the point of this is, well, it's coming from a perspective of your reflections as well, but it's also asking other people to reflect too as they see you knitting or hear about this work? Because even the act of hearing about it, like you might be driving on your car down the highway, but hearing you talk about that is like that's enough to have people reflect on that idea. And it is like it's a fairly shocking idea.
Shocking, but it's interesting that you say that because why is it shocking? I think that the idea that like normally if they're like the history of performance of people, of women pulling things out of their cervix is vast. Ping pongs, people are popping things out all over the place. And that's why I wanted to do something really slow and gentle. And wool and knitting is not a shocking thing. And, it shouldn't be any more or less shocking than any other activity. But I'm using the connotations it has. It's quite a boring activity to make people think, well, our body, our cycles, they're just kind of natural, slow functions, and they shouldn't be shocking or scary.
I'd like to bring Alison Dowell into this conversation here now. I mean, we can say that it shouldn't be shocking and it's certainly thought-provoking, but for most people it would be at the very least unusual to consider this idea. I mean, and that is the point. It's things which aren't normally happening in this same space and order. Yeah. The interesting thing, interesting connections. Mm. So if it's not shocking, then it should at least be interesting and thought-provoking. Mm. How do you regard this sort of performance piece?
I found it very compelling. When I went into the gallery, I saw all of Greg's work and I turned the corner and there was Casey sitting on this box, knitting. And I just thought, what is she doing? And I went out and I came back in and realised that the wool that she was knitting from was actually coming out of her vulva. And a lot of people kind of glanced at her and went, oh, my God, and walked out. And at the time that I was there, there was a little girl kind of watching her, just absolutely mesmerised. Then there was a couple of blokes with a baby on one of them had a baby on his hip. And they were kind of talking to her quite normally and naturally. And I thought, actually, that's very strange. I actually took a photograph because I thought it was the most amazing composition of this woman sitting there knitting with these two guys with a baby. And then this little girl in the corner just kind of watching on. I thought that would be a wonderful composition for a painting. It would raise a lot of ideas and thoughts. But I found it absolutely beautiful, very compelling and unusual, and made me get a lot of food for thought, the metaphor of that. Beautiful,
really. Can you talk us through that, how you were kind of digesting that metaphor or sorting through it as you were seeing it for the first time?
As I saw. Yeah, I mean, women's craft, art and craft is very undervalued. I mean, women put incredible amounts of care and attention and skill into their artwork, but it's very underplayed, compared to things that men often do, Once men start cooking and once men start doing the sort of café facet all sort of thing that he does, women just do it as a matter of course, that's what they do. And I love the way that it's elevating it into an art form. And it's also got a message. Like, all these women out there have something to say and they're doing it through knitting. They're writing it with knitting. And, I mean, it harks back to 35 years ago when I was a young activist at Greenham Common. And as a protest, what could we possibly say to these men on the inside of the American war base? What could we say to them?
Can you explain the context of this?
The Greenham Common. I'm English, and as a young student, the American Army military came and put a war base with cruise missiles, nuclear weapons, on Greenham Common, which was a public land, big area. Mm. They put huge high fences and barbed wire, big concrete silos inside, and in there they housed their cruise missiles, right? So I don't know how it started, but gradually women just said, look, this is not on. We're mothers, we've got children, and they started gathering there in huge numbers.
Why was it the women who responded in this way?
Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe they were the ones at home with the children thinking about it. The men were off at work. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's just interesting though, isn't it?
It kind of tagged on to the feminist movement. It was it was incredibly exciting. Women from all over the country, every little town had a Greenham Common support group, and your grannies and your aunties and all the old ladies, they'd be knitting blankets and taking jars of baked beans and jam, and it would arrive at my house. I lived in Oxford, about 10 miles away. We'd have these huge boxes to take down to Greenham Common every weekend, you know, maybe collect a few women that were a bit sick or they wanted a bath or they fancied a night in a proper bed. They were camping down there. You know, and the big days of action, you know, that we had were linking arms around the base. I think it was 1,300 women linking hands around the base. It was a 13 kilometre stretch. And we used to tie baby clothes onto the fence and nappies and things. And, we, you know, people were, ooh, that's a bit weird. But actually, when you think about it, from an artistic point of view, the metaphor of women tying their baby's clothes onto the fence of a place that's got nuclear weapons in it, it's a very powerful metaphor. It's awesome, and it inspires me today to keep making art about that kind of thing.
So this is the sort of foundation of your, or this is the sort of thing that which got you so interested in this world, or captivated you and sparked your sort of career through feminism and art?
I suppose in some ways it did. It's like you do small things every day in your own way at home. That's what Eleanor Roosevelt said.
Mm.
And that's what I do. You know, every day I think about things like this and how, what can me as an individual woman do to protest against the world of, that have been created, you know, these men's wars that have been made. Look, God, look what's happening in Syria. Do you think women started that? You know, I don't think so. But they're the victims of it. And it's the, you know, and I feel that I, in sisterhood, I make my art to protest against this in my own small way. You know, sometimes I don't even show people what I do. It's just, it's my way of expressing myself.
Casey, just contemplating the idea of feminist art, and you articulated really well the idea of undervalued craft and a juxtaposition between something which is considered sort of safe and boring and something which isn't. But you also mentioned the idea of the sex shows where people, where women would be you know, inserting things into themselves in a way which is not very empowered, or perhaps it is. I don't know. I wouldn't have thought so.
Yeah,
I've never said.
I wouldn't make a judgment on whether that's empowered or not. But the, I think I brought that up because it's for shock value and for, and yeah, it's whereas the, I'm sort of trying to pull away from the idea of a part of the anatomy being shocking, you know.
So how do you, what's the line, or how can people conceptualise the idea behind what is an empowered action when it comes to a woman and her body, and what is, and what's not? Like, what makes your performance art, and choosing to do it in that, in that way by inserting wool into yourself?
Mm.
Why is that part of the action? A feminist action?
Well, I think, yeah, I think I would like to, yeah, then say again, I'm not, I'm certainly not saying that any woman doing any performance is whatever, is not feminist. Yeah, was, that wasn't my intention to say, like, mentioning the ping pong balls at all. I think that, you know, just make, I think that assumptions that women are not doing things by choice, or they've been bullied into doing things, that's the norm, you know, that they don't have self-determination. That's the norm. And I think that I am trying to, it's not that my action has any more or less feminist motivations than other women doing any other performance. I can't make judgment on them, but I'm trying very consciously to avoid that reading of it. And I think that sometimes works are misinterpreted and shaped to fit, to match the prevailing social discourse, which is a patriarchal one. And I think that I'm trying to make it difficult for it to be misread, because and that by making it a very slow, monotonous action, it, I think it will kind of stymie people who might want to portray it as being an angry kind of, you know, mm. something.
You when we first started this conversation, you mentioned that Greg's work was discussed by Lisa, who went along to the exhibition, yep. and that was part of the discussion that was on radio yesterday. The only bloke yep. out of a whole lot of artists, most of whom were women, in a feminist yep. exhibition.
All of whom.
Except
yeah,
for
I
Greg.
Think there was the only man. Yeah, he was the only man. There was one trans man who was involved in the knitting of yep. The two massive banners, part of the Knit Your Revolt that mm. was in the feminist marquee.
So is that frustrating that there are so many women
yeah,
who are involved?
Definitely. I felt pissed off. I was, I think it's wonderful that men and people of all genders are involved in feminist conversation and addressing these issues. I think Greg's work is amazing. I'm a big fan, I think. And I think it's great that he's getting involved in the conversation. But I do have a problem with that there are so many people addressing the same subject matter and putting ideas out there that I think are really interesting who are not men, and that was completely sidelined, really floored me.
Alison, do you see Greg's work as a feminist artwork?
Mm. I don't know what it is. It's a very beautiful, beautiful piece of work. It's lovely.
These are all of the sculptures that we're talking about, by the way.
Totally enjoyed looking at all of them and one by one. I had a bit of a reaction. I thought it was a bit... I wanted to know why this bloke would want to do that. That was my reaction. If it had been a woman doing it, I probably wouldn't have questioned it so much. But when I saw him, this kind of middle-aged man, what the... You know, and then I had to go and research who he was, and I realised that he's got a whole history of kind of producing a shocking kind of work. He did the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh naked sitting by Lake Burley Griffin, and he's worked with Philip Nitschke on, you know, the death euthanasia thing. And that kind of fitted in, and I thought, oh, you know, that I felt a little bit appropriated, you know? Mm. It felt a bit weird. I feel a bit weird about the fact that it was a man doing it all. But that's not to say that the work itself is absolutely beautiful, lovely.
So if we were to try to get to the issue of what exactly is feminist art, or what makes it feminist art, if you felt a bit appropriated, is it still feminist art? Or how can you answer that question?
These days, look, I would have been a lot clearer if you'd asked me 30 years ago. I think everything's so blurred these days. It's very difficult to say those, you know, cut and dried, yes, no things. It's all good. I believe that if art makes you feel something, then it's good. It must be good. Whether it's good or bad, whatever you feel, if it brings you to an emotional, you know, awareness. Mm. And I think it does. And feminist art, I don't know what that's about, really. Is that about old Greek ladies sitting around making doilies together? Or is that about Casey and her knitting? Mm. Or is it about me crocheting, you know, whatever it is I make, and then putting it in a gallery? If you put it in a gallery, does it become art? And there's a big blur between craft and art these days, and I think that's all good. It's just, you know, let's just forget about all those labels, really. Let's just yes. embrace all of it and go for what you like.
Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a very interesting discussion. I really appreciate it. Here in the studio have been Casey Jenkins, who's an artist and a craftivist, and who is performance work, yeah. Which is, when do you finish your work?
Well, the 28 days we're at finishes. The DVAA until the 9th of November, and so then I'll be knitting on the road a little bit beyond that. Yeah, but knitting every day, the gallery is open. So come and have a chat, because it's, yeah, I'm not up on a pedestal.
Oh, go and see it. Casey is amazing.
Casey Jenkins, thank you. And also Alison Dow, thank you so much for joining us for this discussion as well.